Congregation, young people, each Sunday we commemorate the resurrection of Christ. And the apostle says, that I may know him, that is Christ, and the power of his resurrection. And that is my wish for this day, in the preaching of his word, that you may experience the power of his resurrection and to know him. To know him as he has promised in his word, as we just have read, and I am with you. Always. Knowing Christ above all. Knowing the power of his resurrection. That this day, this Sunday, this day of in which we commemorate the resurrection. That knowing afresh, for the first time, or anew, that the resurrection, young people, is rational, is merciful, is personal, is wonderful. Young people, to know him, the risen and living Christ, that speaks of certainty in times of doubt, that speaks of his presence and nearness in times that God feels distant. Friends, it speaks of hope facing the future. This hope of the resurrection. It is a certain hope. It is a future hope. It is a glorious hope. So it is for the Christian. But suppose someone in church, maybe your children if you have them, or your grandchildren, and they ask you as parents, as grandparents, can you now really believe there is a resurrection? How do you know? How do you know that Jesus was raised from the death? And what we commemorated recently with Easter Sunday. Well, if we would answer that is what the Bible says, or that is what you learn in Sunday school or in catechism class, I think that's maybe somewhat irresponsible. Because I wonder sometimes in the time in which we live, in the times of secularization, that is, that more and more people don't know the Bible, in that time in which we live, with our children, parents. How do you give a credible account of the resurrection? Particularly when it comes to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. To know him personally. That is rationally, but also spiritually. That is indispensable for each of us. And does not Christ says to a people who questioned the resurrection, Christ said, God is not a God of the dead, but God is a God of the living. Does not Christ say of himself in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. And does not the apostle remind us in 1 Corinthians 15, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, our preaching is vain. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is vain, yet you are in your sins. Young people, children, simply said, if there is no resurrection, we can go home right now. Preaching is useless, faith is futile, and you don't have hope. No hope. And therefore, to know him, to know Christ, and the power of his resurrection is a matter of life and death. to know him both with head and heart. And therefore, two questions this morning when we consider Matthew 28 that we have read together. Two questions. Did the resurrection happen? Did it happen objectively? To know objectively? And in the second place, what does it mean? What does the resurrection mean subjectively? So more personally, what does the resurrection mean for you? For you. So our first question, did the resurrection happen? In people, I will give four reasons, rational reasons from the Word of God, why the resurrection happens. As sometimes Christianity is understood or articulated in this way, Jesus was a fine teacher of love. As years went by, he was understood to be divine, the Son of God. He died, he was resurrected in the minds of his followers. And so we got the story of the resurrection. It is a legend, it is a myth, as you find it in the New Testament, which was written a long time after Jesus lived, and so you have Christianity. Well, this narrative is not only wrong, but also problematic, as the Gospels were written immediately after Christ's death and resurrection, within 15 to 50 years, not centuries later. And so let me give four reasons, young people, particularly for you, but also for us as parents, four objective reasons arising from the text chapter that we have read together this morning, why the resurrection happened, rational reasons that may help us in a more and more secular society. First, in verse 1 we read the women. Women are the first witnesses of Christ's resurrection in all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Women and only women met the resurrected Christ first. And one thing that has been affirmed and acknowledged by religious and non-religious scholars and academics and others in the time of the gospel writers, a testimony of a woman or women were not admissible evidence, was not regarded, even dismissed. So the only thing to include in an account women means that it really happens. And most of the women were still alive when it was written. They were part of the congregation. Some had even visible and prominent positions in society. Luke 24, for example, it says, said it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James. And Joanna was the wife of Cusa, the manager of the household of Herod. And these women were actually, had supported the ministry of Jesus, ministered unto him of their substance, women of means, women well regarded. Well, if you would make up the story of the resurrection, you would not include women in your writing. But it is included. So it happened. The women have seen it. Second, some suggest, and we can read that in verses 13 to 14, some suggest it is a hoax. The disciples took his body by night. Oh, young people, that would mean, when we read 1 Corinthians 15, that the Apostle Paul attests that hundreds of people had seen the resurrected Christ, the risen Christ, they had seen him personally. Well, if it was a hoax, then those hundreds of people, they were liars. They lived a life of compassion, sacrificial love, preaching and teaching the gospel of the risen Christ, had the courage and faced even death. Do you now really think, young people, that they died for a fraud, for a scam? I don't think so. Now, maybe it was a delusion. The resurrection was an imagination of their hearts. But no Jew would worship a human being as God, and yet they did. And then verse 15, third, eyewitness account. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. The story of the resurrection was widely circulated among the Jews to that very day, in the day of the gospel writers. Matthew implies you can still check it. People are alive when the gospel was written. These are eyewitness accounts. And eyewitness accounts have been reported, not only in the gospel, but also in Paul's writing. For example, 1 Corinthians 15 again. After that, after Christ appeared to Peter and the disciple, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living. Most of are still living. Not written centuries later, but Apostle Paul implies, go around, you can check it, you can talk to the hundreds of people. There's not a legend, there's not a myth, but eyewitness accounts written in the lifetime of people who met the resurrected Christ. People who were there. It is an historical fact. And when you go to the description, you know that after the resurrection, that Christ appeared in different places, Judea, Galilee, in town, in the countryside, indoors, outdoors, in the morning, in the evening, by appointment. Our text chapter, verse 7, tell them he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Without appointment, Jesus stood himself in the midst. Close, from a distance, he was eating, he was talking. All eyewitness accounts. And a fourth, last but not least, then there is this contemporary notion, even today, that the people in the time of Christ were easily persuaded to believe or wanted to believe that he was risen. They were kind of naive. A difficult word, they were gullibility. But if that was so, why do we read in our text chapter, verse 16 and 17, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. But some doubted. The original points, they wavered, they hesitated, they shifted in their minds. They were uncertain at crossroads. Now, young people, if you want to make up the story of the resurrection, you do not include doubt. And note, some, those doubters in verse 17, are people who Christ had called himself. They had been told by the Savior himself. Even children know that doubt does not have place in legends, in fairy tales, in a myth. But here it is. They were not easily persuaded. They hesitated. They were uncertain. They were not sure about the risen Christ standing in front of them. They saw him, but doubted. Friends, God's people can have doubts. They wrestle, even with Jesus in view. Religious people always have answers for everything, prepared for everything. They put soldiers at the grave, just in case. Put a stone before the grave, hide Christ. And when he is not in the tomb, continue to hide him by making it very complicated, saying, say his disciples came by night, stole him away while we slept, and if this comes to the governor's ear, we will persuade him to secure you. Really? Sleeping soldiers? Stealing a dead Jesus? Hiding Christ? That is what religious ones hold on to and advocate. But God's people cannot miss him anymore, a living Christ. His disciples, God's people, can have doubt in their life at times, meaning they did not have that assurance or certainty. It was not the first time, after the resurrection. Luke 24, when Jesus himself stood in the midst of them saying, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts, reasonings, deliberation arise in your heart? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? And so as they, the 11, had their doubts, some of them had doubts about the risen Christ, so you may have doubts in your life or faith. At times like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind, said James. Tossed back and forth. The wise in life. The questions, the perplexity. Maybe the questions with the psalmist, has the Lord forgotten me? How long must I wrestle with my soul, with sorrow in my heart? Friends, that is the language of Zion. Eh? Isaiah 49, the Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me. That can be at times. That same word doubt in our text is used in Matthew 14, verse 31, when Peter, walking on the water, became afraid, looking to the waves and not Jesus. And then Jesus reached out to him and asked Peter, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Thus, you are not alone. You're here this morning in times of lack of certainty. Some of the disciples also had doubts. Their faith was sincere, but at times weak and wavering. And so it may be for you as well. And therefore, young people, that the people in Jesus' time were easier to be persuaded to believe in the resurrection than the people in our time does not hold. In fact, the Jews in Jesus' time believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees accepted. They believe in the resurrection, but at the last day. But a resurrection and not the last day, they hesitated. They doubted. And finally, young people, can you not imagine their doubt? What is a resurrected body? Not a revived body like Lazarus or the son of the widow of Nain, who came to life but died again with the same body. But a resurrected body. What we read of Christ in the gospel. He passed through doors, but he is not a ghost or spirit. They did not recognize him with a resurrected body. Not Mary Magdalene, not the man on Emmaus. In one occasion he even says, appearing to him, "Look at my hands and my feet, it is myself." They gave them to eat. He ate fish. That was something new to them. After having been him for 3 years, called by him, told by him, but when he reveals more of himself, something new, there can be doubt, hesitation. They wavered and not immediately worshipped him. And therefore, their doubts are as strong as yours, as you may have them at times. So young people and parents, our text chapter then, I think, shows credibly and convincingly that the resurrection is not a hoax, not a delusion, even when some doubt it, but is attested by women and eyewitness accounts. An historical truth, yes, as this chapter and other gospels make clear, he is risen indeed, objectively. With congregation, friends, young people, there's more than that. Their lives were changed. Which brings us to our second question. What does the resurrection mean? Subjectively. More personal, what does the resurrection of Christ mean for you? Is your life changed by it? And our text chapter gives an answer. He is always with you. Verse 20b, "And lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the world. And behold," pause for a moment, pay attention, see, "even now, I am," says the living and risen Christ, "I am with you always till the end of the age of the world." Friends, to know Christ's resurrection objectively, rationally is one thing, but subjectively, personally appropriated. What does that mean? Experientially. Let me also unpack this with the help of the Lord in four aspects arising from the text verse. First, Christ says, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Verse 18. All power is all authority. The risen and resurrected Christ has all authority as a prime minister ruling the country. So Christ, as the living one, sitting at the right hand of the Father, reigns and rules this world. Reigns and rules also the Heritage Reformed Church here in Hull and beyond. He takes an interest in your life. He is involved in the life of the families here present or alone as an interceding mediator to whom all things are delivered by the Father. This comfort, all authority is given to him. As the Catechism explains it, that he is your advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. So that you have your flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he as the head will also take upon himself you as member. That he sent you his spirit as a guarantee. That by his power, that power of the resurrection, by whose power we seek the things which are above where Christ sits at the right hand of God and not the things on earth. Be honest, congregation, this morning, friends. Not the things on earth. Oh, we can be so busy with the things of this earth. But now to seek the things of the things above. That is when you may know him by grace. Have experienced the power of his resurrection. Being made alive. It gives you. To seek the things above where Christ is. Friends, how are we doing? How are we doing? If by grace you have received a place at the Lord's table, how was this past week? Seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, the living, resurrected, risen Christ. This comfort, when the cross cries out, what good can come out of this? The resurrection proclaims suffering and injustice and death has been overcome. Where Christ cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So that you will be never forsaken by him, the risen and resurrected and living Christ. He has all authority, all power. You know what it is? To experience that it gives power to the weak. Maybe that one in our midst and those that have no might, he increases strength. And therefore Isaiah proclaimed it already, do not fear. Whatever you have brought into church this morning, I don't know your life situation, but here he promises, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will surely help you. I will uphold you. And therefore, if there are things in your life from the past or the present, and you ask yourself, what good can come out of this? Oh, do not forget, pause and lo, and see, and the risen Christ reminds you this morning, all authority is given to me. I am with you always. Also those times when you pass through the waters, and whatever those waters are in your life, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. I am with you. Does not the apostle says in Romans 8, does not the Lord says all things, even those things that you don't understand right now, All things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose because of his authority. Does the resurrection mean that for you? Come what come. Oh, also in those times in doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in thee, my hand in thy hand. Thou carest for me. Oh, authority that is experienced when he brings glad tidings of good things, that he proclaims salvation, and that he says also this morning to Zion, your God reigns. That is experienced by the power of his resurrection. Secondly, the resurrection of means that the gospel, the ministry of the word. What I mean is this in verse 19 and 28. Go you therefore and teach all nations, Christ says, teaching them all to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. That is experiencing the risen and living Christ through his words. Young people, to meet Christ, to meet Jesus, when you read his word, then you meet him. And then you know that there is a living God who speaks through his living word, through living people. And the apostle reminds us in Ephesians 2, and he, Christ, is it, came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. Well, did Christ come to Ephesus, far off, as he preached to his disciples here in Matthew 28, those who are near? Not like in our text chapter, but through the ministry of the word, the preaching, the teaching of the word, he preaches peace to you. He preaches even now, through the preaching of the word, peace to you. For the troubled one in our midst, for that perplexed one, he says, peace be unto you. That is proclaimed. And peace that surpasses all understanding. When was it the last time that you experienced that peace through the preaching and reading of God's word, preaching the ministry of the word, that is the ministry of reconciliation? And therefore, also this morning, friends, as an ambassador for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ that be ye reconciled to God. That is preached to you Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. That this is offered to you, peace and salvation. Oh, how shall you escape if you neglect such a great salvation? The power of his resurrection experienced through his words. To know him, that is like those on the way to Emmaus. And they walk there with many questions in their life. And then Christ comes alongside. That happens in the preaching of the word. Then that Christ comes alongside and he begins to explain and begin to teach and to begin to preach, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, and he interprets them, the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then that happens, friends. When he reveals himself to your soul, and when he speaks to you, it seems that you are the only one in the world. And then you begin to understand these men. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road? And when he opened the scriptures to us, then you know that he speaks to you. Dus the prophet said, therefore they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. I am your salvation. Friends, my sheep, says Christ, hear my voice. And when he speaks to you, you know, experientially, personally, wonderfully, wonderfully, merciful, begin to grasp, know by grace that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and was raised on the third day in accordance to the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then to 500 brothers at one time, then he appeared to James, and then all the apostles, and last of all, then you know, last of all, as to one untimely born, he also appeared to me. That unspeakable wonder of grace, of the resurrected and living Christ, he also appeared to me. That me, who so often forget him, that me that misses that assurance at time, that me who had doubts at time, that me who often do not live with the perspective of the resurrection, but live so for the here and now. And maybe for you, who at times look to the end of life with fear, it is your last enemy, not your friend. And yet he comes, and yet he comes also this morning over the mountains of doubts, over the mountains of questions, the cares and concerns that you have brought into church. And he says, I am with you always. And friends, that you is not only personally and individually, but it's plural here in the text. Christ speaking to his disciples, the 11, the worshippers and the doubters. And therefore, thirdly, how do you know him? You know him in community, in the Christian community. That is how you know, by grace, the power of his resurrection. And the apostle reminds us in 1 Corinthians 12, for just as the body is one and many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. I am with you all. So Christ says to his people who come together. Friends, to know yourself, you need one another, so that Christ is more seen and more clearly seen. And the apostle said, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. And now you are the body of Christ and members individually. This is how you get to know Christ better, to experience his presence in fellowship with one another. Congregations, it is not enough to show up only on Easter Sunday. It is not only enough to come together on Sunday morning, but also come together during the week in Bible study groups, in fellowship meetings. And yes, I know we are very busy, 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 busy. But is it not often that you come away from such times of fellowship, being together around God's word, that you come away refreshed and renewed? And therefore, congregation, come together also during the week, on Saturday, have a meal together, laugh, cry, talk, spend time together in God's word. There you will meet the living Christ and experience, I am with you all. To experience as a group of broken people who live by grace, experiencing his grace, his power of the resurrection. He promised, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be in your midst. Oh, spend time together in prayer. There you will meet that advocate when you cannot pray anymore. When you have no words anymore. When life is too overwhelmed. And yet then to experience that the living Christ says, I am with you all. Meeting in fellowship and seeing Christ in another, one another, is experience Christ who he is. Let me give a practical example of community and seeing Christ. How do you deal with guilt in your life? Guilt of the past or the present? Congregation is not only in a Christian community. When you experience Christ's forgiveness through the forgiveness of others around you. And true forgiveness means forgetting it, as it did never happen. As God in Christ says, and that is his unfailing promise also this morning, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. No more. And the Lord says, and that is his sure promise, and I will cast all your sins in the depths of the sea, deep depths of the sea, forgiven and forgotten. That is God's way. And so it should be ours. And only then you can live and stand in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. Otherwise, friend, you are beating up yourself and you wait for some extraordinary thing to happen. But in community, to experience and know and see, I am with you all. Peter, John, Doubting Thomas, whatever name you have. And he says, always. In the Aramaic translation, he says, I am with you every day. Through his power and authority, every day to experience, and I will refresh the weary soul and replenish all who are weak. Do you hear? If you sit here this morning, there's a weary soul and weak in yourself. This is what the living Christ tells you and promises you and works in your life. I will refresh the weary soul and replenish all who are weak. Then through his word that shines light upon my path, even at times when I don't know the way ahead, as in shining light it guides my feet at times when I do not know what to do. Maybe with that pain and hurt in my life, but through his word that you can say, my grieving soul, revive, restore, O Lord, according to thy words. And through community, to experience if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all members rejoice in it. Members should have the same care for one another. And fourth and finally, how do you know him and the power of his resurrection? He is with you till the end. The last words of verse 20. I'm with you always, even till the end of the world. Till the end of time. Till the end of your life. He is there. Christ, of whom he said in John 13, he loved his own who were in the world, and he loved them to the end. Maybe you have given up many times. But not he. He loves each of his children till the end. And when the end comes, he will be there. And when you have to cross the Jordan of death, he will be there. And when you arrive in that city, that heavenly Jerusalem, to behold the Messiah, he will be there, waiting for such one as you are. He prays for that, eh? Even now. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that thou hast given me, because thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world, and so you. You are loved with an everlasting love for Christ's sake. True is death and resurrection. Oh, friends, we deserve nothing, and yet he gave everything, and he did it for you. And therefore, young people, if you now really believe that in this world is all that there is, and you die, what then about the injustice and the suffering in this world, your fear and your anxieties, and no hope? You are most, and you will be most miserable outside Christ. Oh, take refuge in him now, this willing and ready Savior, risen Savior, who with outstretched arms on the cross invites, come to me. Do you hear? Come to me. And you will find rest. Rest for your anxious soul. And rest for your soul. As the risen and living Christ, he speaks even now. And I am with you always. That is my offer to you. Regardless of your past, irrespective of who you are, or will you reject then such an offer of grace? This hope of the resurrection, which holds the key of all the hope we need. Because Christ the resurrection not only gives you hope for the future, it gives you hope to handle even the scares of your life right now. And this resurrection hope in Christ is free, is suitable for anyone and everyone, is powerful and available graciously and generously. As a hymn writer of all once wrote, come then ye redeemed of the Lord. Come and obey his sacred word. He died and rose again for you. What more could the Redeemer do? That is life-changing. That is sure and certain. As the gospel ends with this little word, amen. That is more sure and certain than I feel in my heart. And so to continue in this new week, seeing anew and afresh, I am, says the risen and living Christ, I am with you every day till the end.